B-Pod Studios.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 98.5thesportshub.com. You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
5 seconds frozen on the clock. The Patriots with a 13-3 lead over the Rams. Tom Brady, about to be a six-time champion, takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won 3 of 4. Now they have won 3 of the last 5. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
Because I grab the mic and try to say yes, sure. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer from MMQB is in studio, Rich.
Yep, and Friday mornings of Burt Breer brought to you by Salvador Auto Group. Salvador has incredible deals on Chevy, Ram, and pre-owned trucks just off Route 2 and Gardner, and it's salvadortrucks.com. Salvador's got your truck.
All right, Burt Breer, thank you for the picture of Jim Gray.
Did you guys like that?
That was crazy.
Ecstatically looking at
good
Tom
for you,
Brady.
Burt Breer. You know what was weird was I was trying to get a picture of the two of them, and I didn't actually see the look on his face until, you know, after you take the picture.
Sure.
Like, oh, my God, I nailed it.
I captured Bigfoot.
Yeah. Apparently, Jim Gray was in the elevator at the Super Bowl trying to get somewhere, and the elevator operator was telling him how to get where he wanted to go, and he berated the elevator operator.
Yeah, seems like a pretty. It seems like an A-class human being. Oh yeah. Like
oh, so it's like totally big timed him. Like
the elevator operator. Oh, he big time. And by the way,
I always hate hearing that stuff about people too, because it's like that's the worst thing you can hear about someone.
Yeah. What's that whole thing? Is like how people treat like the
people
workers
who can't,
around you.
No, it's how you treat the people who can't help you.
Yeah.
It tells you everything you need to know about a person.
Well, I mean, all I know is that it all made it worth it for me when Bill Belichick was on the field after the game, and there's that video of Jim Gray with his smiling head like coming towards him, and just Belichick gives him the Heisman like a nope,
right,
and just keeps walking.
Very difficult man to get the Heisman.
I heard you guys had a nice conversation with him last Friday, right? Was that what it was? I think it was after I was off the air with you guys, right?
It was great because Fred immediately, he was such a condescending a-hole that we had to end it after 2 minutes, and Fred was just finally like, you don't want to be here, and he's like, ah, and he started yelling at Fred, and then Fred just said, you know, Jesus, Jim, just leave, and took his headphones off. And so during the headlines,
because you guys asked him about the Oprah interview, right, where he was wearing like the big headphones.
Yeah,
like he was a producer.
It was the
like,
most harmless question. What? And he was like, well, I mean, I was invited to dinner. And you're like, okay, well, you were invited to dinner, but what were you doing at the interview? Tom knows Oprah. Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows my wife. Stedman knows Oprah. Oprah knows Tom. And he just went on.
Yeah, and then he goes, you know, what, you don't have friends? You don't go to dinner? No, not with the Oprah and Tom Brady, stupid.
So weird, too, because didn't he make his name, like, with sort of a hard-hitting interview with Pete Rose, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, isn't that what it was?
A controversial interview with Pete Rose. Because Pete Rose was being honored, and Jim Gray took that opportunity to start talking about gambling and everything, and it was controversial in that. Was that the right spot?
So it's so weird that that's the same guy, though, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean.
I don't know. It's just that seems that one doesn't fit with the other, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm not positive what he does for a living. I know he works for Westwood One and does the Brady interview, but outside of that, I'm not positive what he does anymore.
So. Some of these guys who hang around celebrities and attach themselves to celebrities, I have no idea how they make money. But they always seem to be, it's just, there's got to be something there. I don't know what it is.
Well, Jim Gray, when he did The Decision with LeBron James, that was kind of one of those things where it was integrity for hire. Like, you could get a guy, because you know that LeBron James paid him.
Because it makes it look like it's a real interview when it really is.
Absolutely. Right. So, and this is a guy that is going to ask the questions I want him to ask me.
But
there's
like,
still a little bit of integrity there, like as far as his name. You know, Jim Gray's going to do the interview.
Right.
Not realizing that he's a guy who's on the payroll.
Yeah.
So.
None of this namby pan.
He was pointing at Fred and yelling at him. And after the interview was over,
really?
Oh, there's a picture of that
swearing at me and talking to me like you wouldn't believe.
Go to the Instagram. Go to our Twitter page. He's pointing at Fred. And then after the interview was done, Jerry Rice was waiting to do the interview. And he sat down and was like, "What the hell is that guy's problem?" And in the background on our Twitch feed, you could see Jim Gray pointing at the chest of our program director during the Jerry Rice interview.
Yeah, Bert, step over here for 1 second. Take a look.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, I mean, as and Fred's right. Fred's I've never been spoken to, like...
It looks like he's... Fred, you look like you're in pain there or something.
I just, I'm like, go away. Just simply go away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard to do.
Oh, the look on his face, and then you, like, contrast that with the look on his face, like...
With Tom Brady?
Yeah, like find someone who will look at you the way Jim is Tom Brady.
I can't believe you did it. Yay.
We did it. I mean, you did it.
Yeah. We did it together.
All right, so this is a...
By the way, I did listen on my way in. I did hear your LeVar Ball impression sounds strangely like Ray Lewis.
Yes. Bert, there's only a couple voices I can do. And they all blend together. There's no question about it.
All right, so this is it's going to be an interesting offseason for the New England Patriots. What do you think is going to be the most drastic change from this year to next year when it comes to the team?
I mean, I think we're going to see... It's a good question. I would say, I think that there's this group of seven players that account for $92 million on the salary cap for next year. That's almost half. That's going to be, I think, about half the salary cap. All seven of those players are going to be 29 or older on opening day next year. And so that's Brady, Gilmore, Hightower, Gronkowski, McCourty, Marcus Cannon, Dwayne Allen. This, I think, was supposed to be the rebuilding year, and so I think we're going to see some change at the top of the salary structure of the team, which I don't think you're going to see any one position group blown up, but do they pay Trent Brown? Because now they're going to have to pay Trent. I mean, if he's going to make it to the market, and like that's a guy who all of a sudden now gets out there. Everyone needs offensive linemen, and offensive linemen got overpaid all over the place.
I'm scared of Patriots offensive linemen. If you look at Logan Mankins and his performance, and then you look at Solder.
Solder wasn't great with the Giants.
No,
either.
Solder wasn't good with the Giants. And also,
Patriots have a built-in replacement for Brown anyway.
Well, they drafted
Isaiah Wynn. Yeah, potential, but can he play left tackle is the question.
Well, that's what they drafted him for, right?
And then Trent Brown's this big, like, I don't watch film guy. I don't know. It just,
I mean, I think I think he's definitely so. There's one. Trey Flowers is another. Where
that's a big one,
and Trey Flowers is a huge one. You know, because guys who can rush the passer get paid, get overpaid if they make it to the market. Trey Flowers would be crazy to sign anything right now.
Right. Sure.
Like, it's just get to March and see what's out there, and there are a bunch of pass rushers that'll be out there: Jadeveon Clowney, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dee Ford, Ziggy Ansah, Frank Clark. There are all these guys that are that are on expiring contracts now, and some of them are going to get tagged. And these teams, like the Jets, have put aside money to go and get pass rushers this offseason. Well, what happens when those guys get franchised? Well, now all of a sudden Trey Flowers is sitting there, and Trey Flowers might be the guy to get $17, $18 million a year. And so
the Jets will give it to him, and then he'll rest on his laurels. And
So you say, like, drastic change, right? Like, I think the change might be in how they pay people, because they've been able to keep things at a certain level for so long. And now, like, all of the guys that they're paying, and you can throw Edelman into this group too. He's not paid at the same level as some of the other guys, but all those guys are old now. And so this, I think 2018 was supposed to be the rebuilding year, which makes what they did all the more remarkable.
Sure.
Like, I think this was supposed to be the year, and I doubt they ever actually put this on paper anywhere.
Sure.
But if you go back to 2015, I'll bet you their plan was 2018, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the quarterback, and we're going to sort of blow everything up around him, and we're going to get younger, and we're going to... And so I think that there are guys on the roster now that may have been gone if they had gone through with that plan. Brady beats the clock. They get to the Super Bowl last year. Circumstances change and they adjust. At some point, they're going to have to turn the page on some of these older guys. And at some point, the way they pay players is going to have to change a little bit too, because it's changed everywhere else in the NFL. And so how they manage that, I think, is the biggest thing. That's a I don't think there's any one position group, Fred, that's going to be blown up or look completely different.
Well, you think Flowers is going to be gone then? It sounds like there's no way that they're going to pay him.
I mean, if I'm Flowers right now, I'm saying don't even call me until March 14th.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just like... It's
what about
just,
Dante or Danta?
Dante Hightower's an interesting
see,
one,
I
right?
Say, like
he played
Dante too.
He played really well.
But you can get him cheap, probably.
He played really well. Right. Like now,
well, let's take a break, and then because there's a lot to get to, and I don't want to run that far over. Bert Breer from MMQB is here, 617-779-0985.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now. Yeah.
From the eye, Michelle the tailback, behind Devlin, Brady under center, gives to Michelle, runs it left, a dive to the end zone, touchdown Patriots! Michelle for six!
That's the offense I know! That's the offense we love! I told you, it could be three strange quarters, and we haven't seen this quarterback play in a while! But it's fourth quarter, and it's money time for the greatest guy to ever suit it up!
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Bert Breer from MMQB in studio. So we were talking about the changes that are going to happen with the Patriots, and Trey Flowers is going to test the market, as he should. And we're talking about some of the high end in terms of salary cap space that people what they're going to have to do with that.
Can I ask real quick, how much do you think they are going to offer Rob Gronkowski? Because I mean, the theory is that they can't pay him what he is owed for this next year. They are going to adjust his contract and
you
try to give a pay cut.
But the tricky thing about it is you can't adjust his contract because he's got – this is the last year. You're finally the last year of his deal, and so there's nothing you can do to restructure. It's either you extend him and manage the money that way, and that would mean guaranteeing money down the line, which, I mean, if I'm him and I'm year to year, like, I don't care if you're guaranteeing me something in 2020. I don't know if I'm going to be around.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Or you just ask him to take a pay cut.
Well, as I'm saying, I'm sorry.
Or you have him back at the number that he's at, which is, I mean, I think maybe more possible now than it was 2 months ago. I thought it was impossible 2 months ago. Maybe it's not anymore. But they owe him $10 million. In cash, and that's $12 million against the cap in 2019, which is a pretty high number.
So do you see them, probably most realistically, them trying to give him a pay cut, correct? And what would that amount be?
I think that's the most realistic. I think that'd be the most realistic thing. There's part of me that's just, I look at what he did in the playoffs, and I mean, man, that'd be hard to go to him and ask him to take a pay cut after everything that he did this year. You know, I mean, the way he blocked in the Charger game, the way he fought in the Chiefs game, and then the plays he made down the stretch in the Super Bowl on the touchdown drive. You know, the two big plays he made on to get him going, and then to get him down near the goal line.
You're saying the Patriots aren't capable of doing that?
What?
That being a very cold organization?
No. I'm saying like there is, it's not just that he was a good player when they needed him most. It's like what it took for him to get there. You know, like, it's everything that he fought through. And I said this on the air after the Charger game. Like, I have so much respect for what I saw from him that week, because this is, and we've talked about this all year, guys, right? Like, how hard it is for a player who's that talented to lose, like, their superpowers, right?
Right.
And we saw Dez Bryant, like Dez Bryant borderline lost his mind when he couldn't be the same player anymore, right?
Yeah.
Right? And I've talked about the other guys who've been, like, it's rare that somebody can adjust and become something different when they lose that. Like, Larry Fitzgerald, I think, is the best example of it. A guy who reinvented himself. He's not the dominant player anymore. He's gone from, like, being a dominant outside receiver into, like, now he's just sort of, like, a productive slot, right?
Mm-hmm,
and the ultimate pro and all of that. And I think you saw that with Gronk. Like, we saw, like, in the playoffs, like, he sort of reinvented himself a little bit. And he's not the same physically dominant guy anymore. But, like, he reinvented himself. And it takes work to do that. And it takes swallowing your pride to do that. And I got so much respect for him.
Where do you rank him as a tight end in the NFL right now?
Right now?
Ertz, Kelsey.
Bottom of the top 10.
Okay.
Bottom of the top 10.
So is he worth that money being top 10?
No, he's not. But, I mean, it's if you're going to take the cold calculation of what he's actually worth right now, today, mm-hmm. like, over what it would, you know, over some sort of replacement. And this is a good draft for tight ends, which isn't irrelevant. That's part of the equation, too.
Sure.
There are going to be good tight ends available in the second and third and fourth round, and they're going to have picks there. So that's not like an irrelevant piece of this either. If you want to take the cold calculation, he's not worth $10 million because $10 million is the top of the tight end market.
Okay, so Mike Giardi, I believe, came out with an article last week that the injuries that Rob Gronkowski had been facing this year, that he spoke to people inside the Patriots organization or sources connected to the Patriots that believe that if Rob Gronkowski would have followed the medical advice of the Patriots and not the TB12 people like Alex Guerrero, that they believe he would have been healthier this season.
And I would say, I would just counter that by saying that I know for a fact that Rob Gronkowski felt healthier once he started following the TB12 method. I don't know that
like, once he followed the TB12 method.
Yeah, like now I don't know that like.
So was he not when he was hurt during the season?
I can tell you this, like from what I understand. He's dealt with a lot. Like, he's been cut open a whole bunch of times. Like, and this is going back to college. My understanding is a lot of the things that he started to do, the flexibility stuff, the pliability stuff, all of that, like, it started to alleviate some of the stuff that he was dealing with, you know, physically. And so he felt better day to day. Now, whether or not that caused different injuries, I don't know. Like, you know, it's possible that. Okay, like you plug a leak here and something else springs up over here.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't pretend to know all of that. What I can tell you is I do know that like the idea that this was the TB12 method was destructive for him. I just don't buy it because I know based on the people I've talked to that he felt better doing the things that Alex Guerrero and those people were telling him to do.
Well, here's why I thought that whole thing was kind of BS, is that let's say that he did use the TB12 method all year long. What that did, and look at the entire season as a whole, is that, sure, during the regular season, he might not have been as healthy, he might have been, you know, kind of a shell of himself, but when they needed him the most, he was pretty close to full tilt, like when it came to playoff time, and maybe that's kind of the way that method worked. I mean, so you almost have to look at the result justifying what happened throughout the regular season.
Right.
And if that's the case, then I kind of have to call BS on the Patriots organization for saying our way was better. Well, you know what? You got almost a close to fully healthy Rob Gronkowski for the playoffs.
That's why I felt like good on everyone for making this work. But that's why I thought like putting those incentives in his contract, making him earn it, that's why I thought that was BS. To me, like this was always what it was about. It was always about what does he look like at the finish line? We knew they were going to win the division. We knew they were going to get a bye.
Yeah.
Even like at the darkest times of the year, right? Like they lose to Detroit. They lose to Jacksonville. Did anyone not think they were going to win the AFC East at any point?
By the way, the AFC is worse next year than it was this year. Everyone's predicting the Dolphins to be the worst team in football.
Oh, because the Dolphins are going to be blowing the whole freaking thing up.
Yep.
The Bills should be better. The Jets are going to spend a lot of money.
I hear the Bills should be better every year.
No. Last year was like the blow it up year for the Jets.
Sure.
Yeah. So, bottom line is, we all thought that getting Gronk to the finish line in the best physical condition possible was the number one priority, even if it meant sacrificing like regular season production.
Yeah.
And then they put all these incentives in his contract that like incentivized getting to regular season production. You know, that was the part of the whole thing that like when they did it didn't make sense. I don't know. If I'm them and I'm not them, but if I'm them, I say to Gronk, if you want to come back, we won't touch your contract. And because you've made less than you're worth over the course of the last 7 years, we're okay with paying a little bit of a tax to keep you. Whether or not they do that, I don't know.
And you're
because it's not what they've generally done.
Well, you're close to those guys. So do you think that this changed his opinion on whether or not he's going to come back? Like how the season ended? I mean,
No, because I don't think I saw him in the locker room after the game. And he was limping pretty good.
He said he couldn't get out of bed the next Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he made a point of saying he couldn't get out of bed.
And look.
Right, he's been talking about his injuries even more. That's right.
Yeah. So here's the difference between Tom Brady and everybody else, okay? The difference between Tom Brady and everybody else, and the reason why he keeps playing for as long as he keeps playing, most players don't start to hate playing. Don't like retire because they don't want to play on Sunday anymore.
Right.
They retire because they hate Monday through Saturday. They hate the off season and all the stuff they got to do to get themselves in a position to play. Tom Brady loves that. Tom Brady loves every single piece of that. That is unusual. Gronk, like what he's dealing with to get himself in a position to play, I have no doubt he still loves playing on Sunday. I have no doubt he had the time of his life out there playing in the Super Bowl under those lights against the Rams. I have no doubt about that. It's the process of everything else. And I think the reason why he came back and he said, you know, I'm going to give this a couple weeks is because he's had retirement in his head. If he knew he was coming back, there would be no... I give it 2 weeks, give it 3 weeks.
Okay, can I mention something that people are talking about is that apparently, like, I think we played a clip of this.
Sure.
When he was on whatever show he was on.
The Fallon, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's why I didn't want to say that
Laugh
name.
Fest, yes.
But he said that, you know, oh, we were dancing and getting ready for next season, catching the beers. Like, do you make anything of that statement?
That's interesting. I didn't catch that.
Can you pull that clip, Mike, for us?
Pull the clip!
Because I saw that written too, but I also just thought it was just Gronk
speaking.
Same
with me.
Just saying words.
I completely agree.
I mean, just kind of like, you know.
I think he was
joking.
Comes
into my head, comes out of my mouth.
Yeah, I think he was joking about catching beers.
Yeah.
And that would make
I think that the fact that he said during Super Bowl week, I'm going to give it a couple weeks and then I'm going to decide is, that's code to me. And maybe he's not like every other player, but I would just say blanket statement for most players, what that means is, I'm really beat up. I'm hurting. This is tough getting to this point of the year. Like, I don't want to make a decision based on how I feel physically right now. If I make a decision based on how I feel physically right now,
then you're out.
I'm not going to play anymore.
When you have a player like this who obviously, as long as they are protected and coddled and they don't have to overwork themselves, older veteran players who are still extremely effective on Sundays, what kind of regimen do you think they would put him on? Would they be able to let him just... I know that he hasn't done a ton of OTAs anyway. They usually keep him
out of all of that stuff.
So like, what would they do to keep him fresh throughout the year? What kind of liberties will they be able to give him?
You see it a lot of places where, you know, teams will give veterans Wednesday off so they don't have to practice as much. Their practice weeks are different.
Yeah, Steve Smith told us he flew home.
Just say that.
Yeah, it's a great example. Right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude.
This has existed in all. I mean, this is not new or different. The Patriots have done this for guys in the past, so there is a way to make that work. Like there is a way when guys get older. I believe Junior Seau had
Pfeiffer had
Junior Seau at the end they were making a lot of concessions for him. So it's not unusual that they would do this. I would say it's a lot less usual that they would make concessions salary wise, that they would make concessions like financially for a player than they would make concessions, you know, from a workload standpoint. I mean, they made Troy Brown take less. I believe at one point they made Rodney Harrison take less. Like they've taken guys who are legends here and twisted the screws on those guys, you know? So it's unusual that they would cut someone a break. That said, this guy's made less than he's worth for the balance of his career.
Yeah.
And so it'd be understandable if they said to him, all right, like, you know, we're going to take care of you here.
All right. Bert Breer continues in studio. Here are the headlines.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
There was like five, you know, those nipple shots. There were like five of them were thrown at one time, and then there was like five beers coming at one time, and everyone on the duck boat juking them. We're getting good practicing for next season, like, you know?
Third base, you know that MC Hammer had a hit out on him.
By the way, the most underrated part of that clip...
Nipples?
...was that he thinks nips are called nipple shots.
Yeah.
It's like five bottles of nipple shots.
Oh, I missed that. Is that what he's referencing nips?
He's referencing nips there. And that's the one that everyone's freaking out about, is that Rob Gronkowski basically saying... The showing his hand that he is indeed coming back next season. That's just Gronk talking. That's Gronk talking.
That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, we could also read into Bill going up to Gronk after the game saying, like, you guys see the NFL Films clip where he goes, like, you're a great player.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, like, construe that as goodbye.
Well, then there's the Tom Brady video where they're like, doing the face, like, are you going to come back? Yeah. Like,
Or there's the part where he said, I couldn't come into this talk show because I was in such incredible pain.
That's true, yeah. He had to skip out on Mondays.
I had to wait a couple of days before arriving.
Yeah, so, I mean, and he has been talking about his injuries more than you've ever heard him talk about,
I think there's an underrated part of this, too. Like, I think athletes are more cognizant now of, I need to strike when the iron's hot, right? Like, I need to make sure that I maximize my name. It's like when Brandon Marshall was going and doing Inside the NFL on Tuesdays.
Right. Sure.
You know?
Right.
Like, I think they like a lot of these guys realize, like, if I want to, like, kind of spin what I'm doing now into my next career, I've got to do it while my name's still big.
Yeah.
You know, and while my name's still kind of at the height of what it's going to be. If he's someone who fades away, I think he realizes that he could sort of do some damage to that, too.
All right, let's go to Andy from Saugus, where Andy Wong, president accounted for.
Maybe this is him.
It could be Andy. Right?
Andy, go ahead, sir.
Only one could wish, huh, guys?
The fortune could be yours.
All right, I just have a quick question for Bert. I'm over here, actually, in Swampskit. I was looking to go for a little run. Do you think I'd be a little safe over here?
A little what?
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 Like in Atlanta with your little humble brag. Oh, you think I'll be a little safe over here?
I don't know what he's referencing. Was that Felger and Maz?
Bert said to me, he goes, like, do you think I'd be safe running into Midtown? And I said, oh, yeah, you're running there?
Oh, that's right. All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy.
I know Bert.
I was just looking for some advice on Atlanta. There was no humble brag there.
That was just like...
I run very slowly, like 45 minutes a day.
I'm thinking about running a thon.
The thon.
Just making it happen. All right, so we do look at this AFC East, and I was just reading something that the Dolphins are supposed to be the worst team in football. Is there anyone that could beat the Patriots in a game in the AFC East this year?
I think a lot depends on the development of the two young quarterbacks, and Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, and what they are next year. Yeah. I mean, look, the Jets do have $100 million to spend. And so what do you think Adam Gase is a coach? Adam Gase was able to get Bill Belichick a couple times in Miami, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so they're young pieces, Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams, Marcus May, Sam Darnold. I mean, there's not nothing to build around there. So if they spend in the right places, hit on a couple draft picks, they could be okay. I like what Buffalo is doing long term.
You like Josh Allen?
I'm not wild about Josh Allen. That's the problem.
He's not good.
But I think Sean McDermott's the right coach.
Okay.
I think he got them to the playoffs his first year there. I like the rookie linebacker they took last year, Tremaine Edmonds.
Sure, but they're all in on Josh Allen. He's a horrible quarterback.
He can run like the wind.
Yeah, which is, of course,
which means
why
his ribs are gonna get cracked.
They drafted him to run all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's 23 years old. I don't know what he's going to become. But I'm skeptical. Like, I'd feel way more comfortable with Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold on my team.
Correct.
No question about it.
Yes.
What did you think of? Okay, we're talking about young quarterbacks. Jared Goff seemed to crap himself, and I know that was what the Patriots apparently were saying, that we're going to make him crap himself.
And this is really interesting because they used the whole McVay communication thing against them because. And you guys know this, like, and it's been out there for over a year now. What Sean would do is Sean would take advantage of, and this is to the Rams' credit, pulling every lever. You know, they would use the quarterback to coach or coach quarterback communication to allow Sean to make adjustments as he saw the defense. So they'd sit, like, they break the huddle, they get out of the huddle quickly, they get to the line. Sean would look at the defense. Sean would get in Jared's ear, say, check to this.
And then before 15 seconds left in the play clock, it cuts off.
And so some teams have done it like where they wouldn't show until 15 seconds. Now, the Rams' adjustment to that was, okay, well, we're going to get to the line even quicker now, and we're going to snap it before 15 seconds.
Which is smart. That's what you got to do.
Right. So they kept adjusting. Well, the Patriots' adjustment was, it was essentially two calls. They didn't send in two calls, but it was essentially like there were two calls. We're showing this before the snap, and then after the snap, we're giving you this. And if you guys watch the game, and I got to go back and watch the game in its entirety again, but live, Jared Goff didn't know, like didn't look like he knew what the hell he was looking at half the time.
Right.
You know, and so that adjustment from the Patriots, which I think they should have expected, was good. The thing with Goff, the Rams have done that with him, like, right? And the Rams have tried to give him as much help as they possibly can, which, again, I think is to Sean McVay's credit. When do you take the training wheels off?
Right.
Because, like, this is now he's got to evolve, and now you're going to pay him at another level.
He's going to his fourth year, right? He's been in the league for three.
Yeah,
am I right?
He'll be going into his fourth year.
Plus, now that the book is out.
Well, and so.
On it, and it's weird that the Patriots were the first team to kind of figure that out.
It's hard to do it, though. Like, it's hard, right. It's hard to pull it off. And the Patriots, again, we can get into that, too. I mean, there's this advantage. Like, what the Patriots did on Sunday was magnificent.
I know we're bouncing around about a lot, but this is...
The one thing I would say with Goff, like, I would just tell you, the hard thing for the Rams was they were so much in win-now mode this year, right? And Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Brandon Cooks, like, spending all over the place. Let's take advantage of having a quarterback on a rookie contract. Can you really afford, if you're in that position, to knock the training wheels off and say, okay, we're going to take these 6 weeks, we're going to take these 8 weeks, we're going to take these 10 weeks, and we're going to stop doing the communication thing, and we're going to force him to grow? When you're in a win-now position like the Rams were in this year, can you afford to do that? And that was sort of the catch-22, and the Patriots were able to effectively...
Well, it almost won them the Super Bowl.
Okay,
right.
Argue with the results.
I mean, the Patriots were amazing on defense throughout the playoffs. How much of that is Flores, do you think? And how much are they losing by him going to Miami?
I think they're losing something. They were more aggressive under Flores. I would say that. I'll tell you this.
Can't be any worse than Patricia.
Sunday, so much of Sunday, the basis of Sunday was Bill Belichick. That's the basis of Sunday. And the ability to have players who've been playing man coverage all year and then switch to zone on the fly as much as they did, that's not easy to do. It's not easy to go to a player and say, okay, you've been covering man all year. Now I need you to be an excellent zone defender. Like, turn on a dime and be that. It's not easy on offense to go and play what's 22 personnel, right? Two tight ends, two backs, and spread the team. Like, okay, you're a fullback, we're going to have you playing receiver. You're a tight end, we're going to have you playing outside. Like, these things that the Patriots do aren't easy. It's why they're less talented than everybody else. Because they take guys, they're willing to give up a little bit on raw ability, right, to get flexibility, to get intelligence, to have guys who can do those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And this is why their assistants fail everywhere else. I figured that out over the last couple of weeks. I was out to dinner with somebody from another team the other night, and we were talking about it, and it's just the light bulb went on over my head, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know why everybody else, why so many other assistants fail? Because they try to replicate this other places.
Players are too can't handle it.
But no. It's not that. Oh. It's that they go and they bring in less talented players and try to replicate what Bill's doing, but they're not Bill. So Bill brings in less Bill's willing to give up a little bit on talent to have all these versatile pieces so he can play chess. What happens if you can't play chess like Bill can play chess?
Sure.
Now all of a sudden you're just less talented than everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just that. But the light bulb sort of came on from the Super Bowl, where for 20 years we've been watching this. I think that's a huge part of it, is that, like, if you're going to try to replicate what Bill's built here and give up a little bit on talent, you better be as good at Bill as a coach,
That's exactly what Patricia's doing. That's exactly what Patricia's doing. He's like, I want to mold this team into like this certain type of player,
and you're willing to give up on talent,
and he's willing to give up on talent.
And you know who hasn't done that? You know who has actually adjusted? Is Bill O'Brien,
right?
Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins,
Bill's
Clowney,
got some players,
Watt. Like, Bill O'Brien's the one who's like, I probably can't do that. And his one blind spot was at quarterback, where he brought in guys who knew the system, right? Like, or intelligent guys, Fitzpatrick. Now it's not intelligent, but he knew the system. Brian Hoyer, So that was Bill's one blind spot, was a quarterback.
And now he's got a guy.
He adjusted. Yeah. Right.
No, you're right.
Well, it is going to be interesting.
All right. When we get back, I have to hear about your Ray Lewis stuff. All right.
Okay.
Because you texted us a picture.
Or is it LeVar Ball?
The picture of
LeVar Ball, Ray Lewis.
All right, you try to do 85 things at once. 6 o'clock in the morning. What do you want out of me?
I love LeVar Ball. He is back, is he not?
Oh, he was great. And he'd been gone for a while. And you know what? I was kind of sick of him. When yesterday we started talking, I'm like, all right, baby. start pissing off LeBron. I heard you guys too.
I think you guys are right that like there's no way Lonzo signed off on this, right?
No way.
No way.
He doesn't want any.
I want to create problems in the locker room for myself. Go on, Dad.
I mean, I'd imagine somebody probably walked up to him in the locker room with and showed him that clip that you guys played. He's like, oh God,
not again. Just when I was getting comfortable.
Okay, so I don't have to do the read.
No.
Thank you. All right, so we'll be right back.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Party people, your dreams have now been fulfilled. Get your ass up and let's get ill. That's right, y'all.
Any five. The Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. I'm out of breath. I run upstairs.
Why? Because you were sitting down.
Well, there was a toilet paper issue where I had to pry open the toilet thing.
It was like one of those big metal things where it's hard to get it out.
It was one of these newfangled three rollers.
Oh, I hate those. You have to push up the other one.
I couldn't find the...
You can't find the end of it, yeah.
I couldn't find the end of it, so I had to force it open.
I know what you're
and go
about.
For the unexposed roll.
Yeah. That is not good.
And then you yank it too hard and like half the roll comes out.
No, I mean, I'm not some rookie, but nonetheless, that was...
And you're on the clock, too, so you got to set the timer. Do you set your phone timer?
They had it playing in the
Okay, good.
Which I was a little pissed it wasn't Lauren and Wally, but I mean, take what you can get.
Apparently you said to Dan, hey, listen, I can't do a read this break. I have to make duty.
Yeah. I have to make duty.
Which once again,
in
just shows
specific
that we are.
Bathroom. Not upstairs, downstairs.
I can't use the upstairs.
I got the eyes. I knew it was coming.
I got the eyes through the glass. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's what
it's like when LeBron took that night off and they said it was for load management. And I'm like, I started laughing. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a 12-year-old.
We're all 12-year-olds. Believe me. There was a Family Guy on where Peter becomes obsessed with women's bathrooms and how clean they are. So he walks into the All England Club. And there's two girls sitting down, and they go, oh, eh. And then they flash to Peter. He goes, deuce.
That's all he says.
And I laughed out loud.
It's amazing how transcendent that stuff is to, like, my 4-year-old, my 2-year-old think, like, poo-poo jokes are the funny. Oh,
well, that's all they do on those kid shows now.
It's amazing.
There's a fart joke in every kid show now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
just crosses generations. It's amazing.
Well, it never gets old.
It never gets old.
No,
you got to play the hits, Bert.
Yeah.
Sure.
Seriously.
Yeah. So Fred's in there and watching the clock. Yeah. Come on. And meanwhile, he's speed walking down the hall, just like legs right next to each other, knees rubbing together.
I could have.
Pressure's on.
I could have gone all show. But then, I mean, we're getting close to 8 o'clock
where
people start coming in. Were you clutch? This was not anything that...
he pulled a Rondo at the last second.
Attaboy, Fred.
Went right through the hoop.
It was like Jordan over Elo in that stall.
It was a buzzer beater.
And I laid on the floor. I'll tell you this.
Were you in a regular stall or were you in the luxury box?
I had to go downstairs. I could have gone the whole show without doing it, but... If I was going to do it, I had to do it now because at 8 o'clock, everyone starts coming in and they're all animals.
Less of a chance of running into someone.
Well, no, because everyone comes in here and immediately starts taking dumps. Like the first thing they do when they get into work is they take dumps.
He's right about that.
That's a veteran move to wait until you get into work to take a dump.
I mean, because you're getting paid to make a deuce on the company's dime.
I mean, it's insanity.
No, he's right. He's absolutely right about that.
I mean, yeah, it's dumb.
You know, scroll through your Twitter feed.
You got people on hand. Numbers waiting in line.
No, I actually put my phone on my underwear.
put it on, oh, like on your knees. So you have like a web that's holding your phone between your knees.
Yes.
Yeah. Another veteran move.
And like if you're really smooth, you can shoot that thing up to your hand by just like popping your knees apart, and it just shoots up, and you're like, hey, there we go.
It's called trampolining.
It's like you're in a movie theater. It's like you're in a movie theater.
That's the trampoline method. Thank you for the phone.
I'll tell you, more dexterous than I thought. Very good.
I didn't do it.
Well, it goes into it.
Just an old pro in there.
We have 1 minute to talk about Ray Lewis. What happened? Okay, you sent us a picture of Ray Lewis walking around in a white suit.
That was crazy.
At the
I'm sitting. They have like down in the like underneath the stands at the like right where the tunnels are and all of that, when they're waiting to like let people out into the field. They have us all like corralled together, and Ray Lewis walks by. I'm like, oh my God. And I turn around and he's wearing like this giant white coat. Hmm. It had to be intentional, right?
Well, I mean, you think this is like an FU to.
I mean, it must be, right?
But that can't be
an accident.
He's so dumb.
But that can't be an accident.
I look great in white.
That can't be an accident.
You can't take white away from me.
Seriously, that has to be intentional.
I would guess so.
The jacket party, the white coat in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's
coming back to Atlanta. You heard that one guy try to yell out at him at the party. It was like, we need to talk about what happened 20 years ago. And like one of his spiritual advisor guys stepped in and just started like talking over the guy, going, positivity and Jesus is why we're all here today. And like
5:15:75
and drowned out this guy who wanted to ask him about, hey, you know, you're back here for the first time for the Super Bowl since that whole murder thing happened. Let's talk about it. So, yeah, it was somebody brought it up, but they were drowned out.
Yeah. So you guys want to hear the story? You want to wait till after the break?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we sent one of our reporters there, and Robert's had like a up and down history with them. And so they have like this, basically the media access was, he got credentialed, the media access is right there in the red carpet. And so there are, it sounded like quote unquote reporters planted to ask questions. And I guess he comes by and like two, like really, hey, like, why do you do this? Like, what's so important about this charity to you or whatever? And then he walks off, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're sort of waiting to see if he'll come back or whatever, because somebody had taken him off to somewhere else. And one of the Ravens guys that that Robert knows and had been at odds with over the Ray thing walks by, and they make small talk. And then like 90 seconds later, a security guy comes over to Robert and says, you're not dressed appropriately. We're going to have you leave.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they knew he was the guy who had asked him about the past.
He was wearing jeans, and he wasn't I was out to dinner with him after. Like, he was dressed fine. You know what I mean? Like
jeans and a collared shirt.
Yeah. Like almost anybody you saw walk through Radio Row at the Super Bowl, like, dressed like that.
So the reporter, they're saying he was dressed inappropriately to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, there was there was a dress code at Ray Lewis's party or something.
That's it.
It's the anti-Phil Collins.
Jacket required. Yes.
Jacket required.
Is there video of this?
Yeah, of the guy yelling from at the thing to Ray Lewis.
I need to see that.
Yeah,
so send me the link to that.
It's good. And this guy just steps in front of Ray Lewis and just drowns him out and starts saying, "Hey, positivity," and all that.
I mean, I was just like, this has to be intentional. Like, either that or it's the weirdest, dumbest string of coincidences. The jacket party. Like, the
dumbest, I think you should just stop there.
Yeah,
it's possible.
He is weird and dumb. All right, Bert Breer from MMQB, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys.
We do appreciate it. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.